If you're a note taker, the title this morning, it's not how you started, it's how you finish that matters. It's not how you started, it's how you finish that matters. It's August 25th. Can you believe it's the last Sunday of August? I can't believe it. The kids start school tomorrow. Hallelujah. Praise God. Back to a routine. Amen. That's good news because it means it's a new season for our children. It's a good time that some are starting college. Some might be their last year in college. Some are going to be juniors and seniors and coming in from, you know, being freshmen, you know. So it's a good thing that we have this change of season. And it's not how you started this year. And I want to share some things that God's placed on my heart this morning to encourage you that it's not how you started this year. This year could have been a complete mess until this point, but I'm going to help you this morning. It's how you finish that matters. God's all about you finishing strong in life. Amen? And this morning, I want you to know that as the kids go back to school and they start a new season and they start a new chapter in their life, there's a new chapter going to be written. Turn on the slide real quick about this clean slate. Oh, clean slate. There it is. Do you realize that God has forgiven and forgotten all your sins? It's kind of like that board there, that whiteboard. You used to have a whole bunch of things that you did, how you started off, and it might have not been really good. It might have not been godly in the things you've done. And God's saying, you know, today I'm going to wipe the slate clean. I'm going to wipe the whiteboard clean. The chalkboard's now clean. There's a new beginning. So whatever you had in the past doesn't matter. Because what's going to happen is how you finish is what matters. God's interested in you finishing strong. And I know that many of us have gone through some stuff this year. I understand that. But it's a matter of how you finish is what's important. And we said last week that you have to get your mindset right. And that God's given you some unlimited possibilities that await for us. But we got to get our thinking right. If we continue to do the same thing over and over again, we get the same result. God wants you to do some new things. God wants you to step out of your comfort zone. God wants you to do some things that you thought you could never do, and you can't do them unless you get God involved in the mix of it. Amen? I've found out in my life through tests and trials that when I started trusting God, it was one of those, am I all the way in? I got one foot in. You ever do that in the water, and you kind of like, you know, I was at the beach this week, you know, and I put my feet in the water and go, man, that's pretty cold, man. You know, give me the pool. Amen. I like that. The pool's 80 degrees. And, you know, that hot sauna, boy, it was that sauna was in there, and it was that whirlpool was about 105. And I'm like, yeah, that's pretty good. I like that. But that ocean water was cold. And sometimes that's like you and I. We have one foot in, and then we have one foot out, you know. You do the hokey pokey, you shake it all. But remember that when you were a kid? Hey, man, I'm just trying to help you. And what God's trying to let you know that you can finish strong and on top because you're connected to someone who cares about you, someone who loves you, someone who wants you to succeed in life. And God has placed some things in you, and he's given you the ability to finish strong. If you can dream it, God will make it happen for you. If you can dream it, if you're a big dreamer, God can make those things happen for you, but you got to do it his way. You just got to believe. You got to say, Lord, I don't know how it's going to come about, but I'm going to trust you that you're going to walk me through the process so that I can be successful, that I can have all the things that you've asked me to have in life, as long as I follow his way. Now, I want to say this, and I want to reiterate this several times. It's not a matter of how you started this year or what you've done in your life up to this point. It's how you finish is what matters. Amen? So take a look in the Bible, if you would. 1 Corinthians 9:24. 1 Corinthians 9:24. This is the New Living Translation of the Bible. And I want to get the scripture into you this morning. And I want you to understand, because you know the Bible really isn't that hard to do. Amen. It's a good tool for your life if you want to accomplish anything great. You know, I've read a lot of self-help books and they've helped me, but nothing's helped me as great as the Bible. Amen. Because if you look at the self-help books that are out there, most of them use scripture or principles of the Bible to get you through because somebody's smart enough to understand they can't figure it out on their own. Amen. So if you want to finish strong this year and complete your life and flow in the things that God has for you, here's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9:24. It says, "Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize?" Let me stop there for a second. So think about yourself in a marathon. You know, the marathon's going to be coming here to Las Vegas, the Santa Claus run. You know, they have the marathon, they have the half a marathon, and they have the full-on 26-point whatever miles that is. Amen? And it says, don't you realize that everybody runs in this race, but only one gets the prize? Only one who's probably trained the longest, who's prepared their body physically, the one who's really trained themselves is going to win. You don't go into a race hoping that you take last place. You run a race, it says here, to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training, it says. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. Verse 26. So I run with purpose in every step. Let me stop for a second. God wants you to succeed and finish strong. And you need to understand, when you apply his principles that are found in the Word of God, he's going to allow you to finish strong. Every step has been ordered of God. Every training apparatus that God has put in you, called the Bible, prayer, fasting, those tools that God's put inside of you to be able to use, help you finish the race. So I run with a purpose in every step. I just don't go run to go run. I run that I've got a goal ahead of me. I've got a plan ahead of me. I've got a purpose ahead of me. You just don't run to just to run. You run a race with purpose. I am not just shadow boxing. It says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I might myself might be disqualified. I discipline my body like an athlete. You know how you discipline your body like an athlete in the Word? You spend time in the Word. It makes you strong in the Word. Once you know the Word, you can flex the muscle of the Word, and things begin to break loose in your life and allows you to finish strong. The more Word you have in you, the faster that you can run the race of life. The more prayer that you put in your life, the more times you fast, or maybe you set aside some time away from the TV set and spend some time with God and say, God, I just want to hear from you. And just spend some time alone with God. Maybe it's coming to church every Sunday. Maybe it's getting involved in doing things. Those type of things draw you closer to God and allow you to win the race. Amen? So let's talk about this race of life. Let's talk about how you might have started. It doesn't really matter. Kind of like take that chalkboard and just kind of like wipe that slate clean, because it's how you finish is what matters. Amen? Now, sometimes when we go through life, there's things called a dry season. Put up the slide real quick. You know, that's the desert. When it doesn't get any rain, it looks like that. It's all cracked up. You know, it's kind of like our life sometimes. When we don't replenish it with the Word, we kind of get cracks and stuff. Amen? As I'm getting older, I'm finding there's these wrinkle creams and stuff. Amen. Take away the wrinkles of your life. Amen. And it's kind of because your skin's dry. It needs to be moisturized. Amen. And I'm just trying to help somebody. Amen. But that's our life. So that we go through what we call a dry season. And in this dry season, we might have faced some troubled times. Some of us might have lost our job in the beginning of this year. Maybe you lost your house in foreclosure. Maybe you lost someone that you loved, or you had a friend or a relationship that went sour, or that person died and are now in heaven, but they're not with you today. Or maybe you went through a divorce, or maybe you went through some hard time. That's considered a dry season. And all of us will go through seasons in our life. But God allows these things to happen so that you and I love this, can finish strong. Sometimes God will separate us from people and things so that he can place something into you so that you'll finish strong. Sometimes people are your hindrance. Sometimes family members tell you can't do it. You'll never amount to it. Maybe your parents say, hey, you'll never be able to finish college. We ain't got no money for college. Well, that's negative confession. You've got to speak the Word and say, hey, I'm going to find some funds. If I do my part in school and I learn and I get the good grades, I should be able to get some scholarship. Amen? I like scholarships because that's less money I got to pay. Amen? Praise God. God separates you from people in situations sometimes so that you'll spend more time with him to get into a deeper relationship with him so that he can give you more revelation and more knowledge of who he is and give you a strategy and a plan so that you can complete the task or the race that's before you. Amen? I'm just trying to help you. Think about Paul for a minute. He knew the word, but he still wasn't in the likeness of Christ. Think about that. The Apostle Paul knew the word, yet he was not in the likeness of Christ. There wasn't revelation. There wasn't manifestation. Those things don't take place unless you spend time with God. Say, I need to spend some time with God. I want to finish the race before me. I'm going to finish strong. What's behind me is the past. What's ahead of me is bright and great. Amen. That's why I'm just checking. I'm going to see if you can keep up with me. Amen. Some of us don't need to slow down. I'm going to tell you. Some of us need to slow down and make a commitment to God, to the church, to the pastors. We need to slow down, and what that takes is called discipline. I'm an A-type personality. I got a task list that's 400 pages long. It's a scroll, amen? Thank God they came up with a computer because I could just push the button and everything transfers the next day. That didn't get done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not that I'm a taskmaster, but I have a lot of tasks to perform and get done, and I'm driven. And sometimes I catch myself, I'm doing so much so fast that I need to slow some things down because I need to smell the roses along the way. You ever been there? Sometimes you need to smell the roses along the way. Sometimes you gotta discipline yourself. Sometimes in a dry season or a desert experience, it's a training ground by your personal trainer, Jesus. Put up the slide real quick. See, there was this guy named David and Goliath. And if you look there, you see that David had this guy over here, his coach, his personal trainer. Amen. And that personal trainer there was telling him, this is how you sling that rock, because someday you might need it. Preparation is never wasted. Amen. But I like that because I was looking at that and I go, man, that's pretty cool. There's a personal trainer because someday you're going to face a giant like Goliath. Someday there's going to be a situation. There's going to be a circumstance that's going to hit your life and you're going to be faced. And what you need to make sure is that you've been prepared. You got to make sure that you're trained up. But you got someone, you have an advantage over other people that don't know Jesus. Is that you have Jesus in your corner. You got God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus in your corner. The person that you're dealing with is already outnumbered. Amen? I walk in business meetings with people that are a lot smarter than I am, but then when I sit down with them, I become smarter because it's just not me. I've got God the Father and the Holy Spirit guiding and directing me. I got Jesus in my corner saying, come on, son, here's what you need to say. Here's how you need to act. This is what you need to do. And then guess what? I finished strong. You have a personal trainer. His name is Jesus. And he's there to get you fit in order to be able to finish the race. Amen? Help is on the way. Help is on the way. So we know that, first of all, you've got a dry season, but when you're in a dry season, God is already preparing that there's going to be some help that's coming along the way. I don't know about you, it's great when you have help. Amen? Yesterday I was changing a little battery in this smoke detector because it was chirping. It was driving me just bananas. Amen? And I'm watching TV and I hear this chirp, chirp. And I had to go out to the garage and get this giant ladder because everything, of course, is a high ceiling bolted. And I'm on the top rung of this thing, which I'm not afraid of, but I had to have someone hold my ladder. I needed some help. God will always bring people to stand by your side to encourage you as you run the race. These people are placed in your life to help you stay on course. Take a look at this slide. See this guy on the sideline? He's praying for those guys on the field. There's somebody on the sideline of life coaching you and encouraging you, lifting you up, saying, hey, I'm on your team. You can do it. I know that what you've seen in the past is it looks pretty bleak, but your future's bright. It's not how you started. It's how you finish is what matters. Think about the Apostle Paul. I mean, I think about all the stuff that he went through. But it was interesting that Paul had the sufficiency of the grace of God, and it finished strong, and he learned that things weren't going to hold him back because there was Jesus Christ inside of him. There's the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you and dwells inside of you that encourages you to make the next step even when you feel like you can't make that next step. He found out when he was weak, God made him strong. I found in my life, when I was weak, God was at his strongest point. Because there's times I don't need God. I don't need his help sometimes. There's some things I can do, but there's times when I am weak, when I can't do anything else, he's there to help me to push it through. I don't know if you ever weight trained, but when I was in weight training, I used to do a heavy bench pressing. I don't recommend it because it'll screw up your shoulders when you get older, amen? But when I was younger, there would be somebody that would spot you, amen? And so you would do 99% of the work. You get the first one up, you get the second one up, and then when I became weak, the other person was strong and helped me pull up the remaining weight up. That spotter is what they called him in the gym, amen? And you had to make sure that spotter was paying attention and looking, because if you're lifting 400 and some pounds, you didn't want them to be preoccupied, amen? Because it's resting on your chest, things start to crack and crunch, amen? Just trying to help you out. But here's the deal. We're pretty good, you and I are really good at letting people know that we don't have any issues. We never show our weaknesses. We never want to really ask for help. We'll just rather do it ourselves. You ever been there? Am I talking to anybody who's ever been there? Well, I'll do it my way. I don't need anybody's help. And, of course, you're suffering through it the whole time, complaining, I wish I had some help. I got to get this stuff done. It's time that we just kind of unmask ourselves. And it's okay this morning to ask for help from people. It's okay to ask for help from God. God isn't there to put you on your island by yourself. He's there to help you. That's why he left you a comforter named the Holy Spirit. Here's something you need to focus on if you want to finish strong. Focus on the things you don't see. Focus on the unseen. Focus on the unseen. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 4:18. 2 Corinthians 4:18, the scripture says this in New King James Version. 2 Corinthians 4:18. It says, so we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things that we cannot see will last forever. Here's the deal. I like Apostle Paul because sometimes his life and my life mirror itself. Amen. He was unable to focus on what was seen, but he was very, very good at focusing on things that weren't seen. It took him some time. He went through some hell. He was Saul that then became Paul. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. He started as Saul persecuting Christians to then become Paul, who was the greatest of most Christians, amen. He did a 180 lifestyle, and what was the past, what seemed how he started, looked like he was going to fail. At the end, he finished strong. Paul learned to be content. He stood on the word, and he stood on the promises of God, and his focus would not waver on the circumstances he saw, but God's promises. What happens is, what we do is we start looking at the problems, and the problems become so big that our God that we study, the word of God, that we say, God can't take care of this. This cancer that I got, I guess I'm going to die from it because that's what the doctor said. But then when you face those situations, you got to use the word of God. Because if you're training prior to your circumstance, you're a lot stronger. If you're not studying, if you're not reading, if you're not doing the things that God's called you to do and putting them in practice, when the storms come, you get wiped out. Or it takes you a longer period to recover. Amen? When we were on this vacation to Dana Point, we would get up in the morning and we'd go walking. And, of course, my wife had a trainer, so she was in a little bit better shape going up and down these stairs that we're like, you know, 300 stairs going up to these mountain things. And she could go up there and she goes, are you gonna catch up to me? I'm like, I was up and I almost winded. She goes, okay, let's keep on walking. I'm like, okay, can we just slow down that walk? I mean, she's moving at that fast pace. Why? Because she's been training. She's got enough wind in her lungs to be able, that lung capacity, to keep on moving. Amen? I needed a coffee and a Danish or something to keep me going, praise God. But we see that that the Apostle Paul, he didn't waver when circumstances happened. He went through a lot of things. And guess what? You and I are going to go through a lot of things. If you're going to finish the race strong, you don't waver from God's plan. You seek his eternal plan. You look at the things that God did and how did he deal with it. And I mean, I can't say enough that in your life there's going to be disappointment. I wish I could say there wasn't going to be disappointment, but there's going to be disappointment. I remember in school, I would study so hard, I'd pull an all-nighter, I would study, I for sure knew all the stuff, and then I'd only get a B on the test. I mean, how did that happen? I was disappointed because I worked real hard, I thought I deserved the A. But my knowledge of what I had in my head and what I put on the note were two different things, so I only got a B. Amen? Sometimes you're going to have some disappointment. If Paul could learn how to handle a shipwreck, we should be able to handle some disappointment in our life. Life's not perfect. Sometimes in those disappointments is the greatest times that you can pick yourself up to learn something from it and do something great. Amen? In the times in my life where I was disappointed, God always showed up to rectify it, to make it right. Amen? Don't let the waves of life drown you. I watched kids surfing out there and boogie boarding and all that stuff this last weekend, and you'd watch the wave and it'd undertake them. You know, when they missed the wave, it would just suck them under and it'd spit them out. But those that caught the wave were riding high, amen, and they would come all the way into the shore. Don't allow things in your life to disappoint you. You're going to have some disappointment, and you're going to have to get through it. It's how do you handle the shipwrecks? Some of us have had some shipwrecks this year. Some of us have gone through some stuff. I know that you've dealt with some hard things. I know that it's not easy, but when you have God on your side, you can accomplish and complete anything that God puts before you. Amen? Remember, you're always in training. You're always in training. You know, I go to the gym not just once a month and say, oh, I hope that works for me. It's a consistent, ongoing thing that you do every day or every other day or doing some kind of exercise every day to keep yourself tuned up. Amen? No different than the Word. Every day I spend some time in the Word. Why? I spend a little bit more time. Why? Because I want to learn to make sure that when a storm comes, when my ship gets wrecked, I know how to deal with it. Amen? I don't call 45 friends and dial a psychic and all that kind of stuff, you know. I always like the psychic places that went out of business. I always wonder, did they see it coming? You know, I do. I mean, I just, you know, it's amazing. I mean, that's pretty big down in California. We've seen some psychics, and you know, I was going to tell them their future is bright if they just serve Jesus. Amen. But have you had a shipwreck this year? I know that some of us had to deal with some things that were unexpected. But here's the thing you need to understand: you got to learn to trust God, even if you're shipwrecked, even in your hardest times, even when you're feeling like you're squeezed and you have no way out and there's no plan other than the plan that I can only pray. Only maybe I can only say the name of Jesus because I have no other thing I can think of. Then you just call on his name. Here's the deal. Paul, knowing that his anchor, Jesus Christ, was secure. You got to understand, you got to anchor yourself in the things of God. Jesus should be your anchor. When you have something anchored, it doesn't usually move from the ground. Amen? I had a boat. Used to, that was the key word. Used to have one of those bad investments, amen? And I'd have an anchor, and we'd have an anchor so that we could stay still in an area, or the anchor would just float us around a particular area. It wouldn't drift us somewhere where we shouldn't go. An anchor holds you down. And that's what you got to understand, is God will secure you. God will hold you down. God will make you strong. And when you trust in him and you rely on him, you'll be able to finish strong. Amen? Paul knew that there was angels that stood by him at night, even when he was shipwrecked. He knew whose he was and who he served. Paul finished strong by living above his circumstances. You can overcome life's issues and finish strong if you live above your circumstances. If you don't allow your circumstances to dictate your life. A lot of us do that. I know I have. I've allowed the not having enough money to say, well, then I'm not really good enough. I'm really not the man of the house if I didn't provide enough. And I've had to learn that God's my provider. Amen? That he's the one I need to seek. Take a look at 2 Timothy 4:18. 2 Timothy 4:18. This is the New King James Version. 2 Timothy 4:18. And the Lord will deliver me from just a few evil works and preserve me from his heavenly kingdom. Right? Isn't that what it says? And the Lord will deliver me from 95% of the evil works that are out there. Right? So it says he will deliver me from every evil work. So every, what did he leave out? So why are we so worried what people think and people say and what people perceive us? Amen. People look at you, well, you're a Christian. Who do you think you are? I'm a son of the Most High God. That's who I am. I don't make excuses for that. It says, to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Take a quick look at the slide real quick. Remember this story of the tortoise and the hare? Remember that one? And you remember the hare started off real good, but the tortoise was real slow and kind of just, he was paced. You notice the tortoise was paced. Who won the race? Tortoise won. He finished strong, did he not? Why? Because he kept on doing the same thing day in and day out. He said to study that word. He wouldn't go at a fast pace. He wasn't tearing down the house. He wasn't interested in how many people came to church. Oh, I can't go preach at that church because they only have 15. I only go preach when there's at least 1,000. If there's not 1,000, I can't show up, and I need an honorarium for $25,000 for me to show up. Come on. That's church folk. I was looking for that in the Bible about that. I just didn't find that. But I look at this tortoise and the hare, and the hare is cool dude. I mean, he's pretty fast. He's Speedy Gonzales, you know. But the turtle, there's something about the turtle that's pretty cool. He's got a hard shell. So it deflects the things of the world that come against you. You know, his hard shell allows him to be protected. Kind of like Jesus does for you when you spend time with him. He'll protect you. Just trying to help you. Sometimes the guy that's the fastest always doesn't finish the race because he's out of breath before he gets there. Amen? Think about the tortoise. He was just a steady Eddie. Well, I'm just going to keep on going. Well, because what he did every day is he spent time in the Word. He fasted and he prayed and he set a pace before him. Remember, the race that we run in is a marathon. The hare thought it was a short distance 100-meter race, but we understand it's a 26-mile race. It's a race of life. It takes years to get some things done. Amen? Some of us have been waiting so long for stuff. God, when are you going to do it? But you're in a race. Every step has been ordered of God. Every time you make a step, it's been ordered of God. Every time you make a step, it's ordered. Why? Because you're following after the things of God. I'm not looking at my past because my past is not very pretty, but my future's pretty bright. I'm looking to the Lexor light, boy. I mean, because that's how bright my future is. You ever look at that Lexor light at night? I mean, anywhere in town, you can see it. So it's so bright. You can see it. You can see it from miles away. Why? Because it's so bright. There's so much light. Well, that's the light of God inside of you. You ever notice a haunted house never has a whole bunch of lights in it? It's usually dark and dreary and has the purple flashing lights and stuff. Why wouldn't they make it? Why wouldn't they make it all lit up? Because it wouldn't scare you. When you get the word in you, it doesn't scare you. It scares the devil, because he knows that now you got some power to finish the race. Although he's knocked you down and he's caused you some pain and he's caused you some heartache and he's come across in a way to say that you're defeated, but before that final tap out, your hand raises up. I mean, I don't know about you, but I was a big-time wrestler watcher, amen, when I was young, and I was in the day of Hulk Hogan. I loved Hulk Hogan, and he was my favorite. He took the vitamin supplements. I think they were steroids. But, I mean, anyways, I mean, they were vitamin supplements he took. Amen. And he always said, there's three things. He always prayed, and he always took his vitamin supplements, and he worked and trained hard. And, you know, he'd get in those things in those wrestling matches, and I'll never forget, man, Andre the Giant, that guy who was so big, you know, just whooped him down, you know, and then Andre was holding him down. They had to count one, two, and all of a sudden his hand went up, you know. Kind of like that. And then he got that. People start clapping for him. Amen. People on the sidelines were, come on, come on. Remember, people on the side clapping. Come on, you can do it. Even though you went through a desert season. Amen. And then all of a sudden, he'd raise his hand up and get up and bounce off the ring ropes and clothesline the guy and pin him. 1, 2, 3. That's what you do to the devil when you wake up in the morning. Every day, you can pin him to the mat. Don't allow him to bring up your past. Just remind him of your future. But you got to give of yourself. Paul poured himself into others. We got to do the same thing. Jesus is an example of one who gave of himself, even to death on a cross. Jesus was strong. He completed the race that was before him. There's a race before you. You're in training. You got a personal coach named Jesus who's on your side. He's there encouraging you, edifying you, lifting you up to say, you can do it, girl. You can do it, man. You can do it, youth. Well, you know, the world's kind of written me off, and, you know, I'm just going to stay, you know, right where I'm at. Well, that's maybe not where God wants you to be. Amen? You may have a trailer today, but tomorrow God may give you a mansion. Where's your faith? Come on now. You may live in an apartment today, but tomorrow you may have your own home and have ownership of it. Free and clear. You may be a renter today, but tomorrow you'll be an owner. You didn't have a car, but now you got one. Maybe you're driving around a scooter all day long, but God's got a motorcycle for you. Amen? Or a brand new car. You got to give of yourself. Give of your time. Give of your talents. God has placed these things in you to be used in the body of Christ. I hear these preachers and I talk to friends and they're gifted and talented in the music department. I mean, they are good. But they sit in the church and they're third or fourth fiddle. They don't get to use their talents, but they go to the big church because they want to be with people. And I'm saying, well, if you come to the church here, you'd be used by God with your gifts and talents. What would draw people? Yeah, but you know, you only have a few people and you know, my talents are way above that. Yeah, but you're sitting on your talents in a pew in some church. And then you tell them that, they don't like that too much. So God gave you the gift not to sit on. It's to be given to the body of Christ to be used. We have a friend that knows a lot about financial stuff, and how you can tell is he's got a lot of money. Amen? So he must be doing something right. The first thing he told, I'll never forget, we went to his training class. And he talked about tithing. He said, if you want to get your finances straight from the beginning, you learn to tithe. If you don't do that, no matter what I tell you after that, I could give you every scientific way. I could share with you all different great stock market tips and how to save and all these percent. But if you don't know how to do that one principle, if you don't want to do the first one, I can't help you with the rest. But see, he's got a gift and talent that he has that he wants to share with the body of Christ. Why? Because he knows how to use money. And knows how to use it wisely and how to grow it. Amen? And they've been given as gifts to the body of Christ to be used to grow the body. Be the one that God uses to glorify the King of Kings. Amen? Take a look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. I'll close with this scripture. Because I know you're all yawning and you want to go home and eat your Danish or... Y'all want to go home and watch football. You know, there was a miracle that happened on Thursday. Just want you to know. Just want you to know. Lions beat the Patriots. It was a miracle. Beat them by like 30 points, I heard. So, I mean, I was driving into storms, amen, come back from California. But when I heard the news on Friday, I went, there was a miracle. Praise God. Hey, I've been praying. God worked a miracle. Amen? 2 Timothy 4:7. Remember, it's not how you started. It's how you finish. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought the good fight, and I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on the day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. God's saying finish strong. God's saying that you and I can finish strong. It doesn't matter what kind of day we started off with, we can finish strong. Sometimes our days start off just horrible, but we can still finish strong. We have the power and the ability to how we want to respond to things. Amen? Your desert experience was a time to build you up and train you in the things of the Lord. The desert experience is a time where you're alone with God. You have a one-on-one personal trainer. It's good. Sometimes you need that one-on-one time with God. Sometimes he needs to separate you from people and circumstances and situations and get alone with you so he can reveal some things that he just wants to show his favorite son and favorite daughter. He wants to show you some strategies of how you can finish the race strong. Because it's not how you started the race, it's how you finish the race. It's always been a season of preparation when you're in the desert experience. And that preparation is never wasted. It's a time for you to grow and prepare for the race. I'm not going to go run a marathon unless I've been training up for that. I see people in the gym all the time, and they're on that machine for like an hour, and they put 12 miles on it. So we're just training for the marathon. So we do about half of the whatever the marathon is. We do that consistently for a week, and then we bump up a couple miles. So then when the marathon comes, we know that we can endure 26 miles. That's cool. God bless you. Do they have the fun run? I'll be on that one. The 5K, the 3 miles. I'm up to the 3 miles. I could do the 3 mile race. I might not finish first, but my goal is just to finish. Amen? Because I know where I came from. Amen? I might even do that this year. I may run that Santa run. We are? Okay, I guess I guess I is. Amen? Better lose another 20 pounds because that Santa outfit probably weighs 20 pounds. See, along the way, God will bring you people to help you, to encourage you during the race. There'll be some people on the sidelines as you're running a race encouraging you. It might be somebody on that football field on the sideline encouraging you that you can do it. It might be your coach. It may be a best friend. It may be someone that's by your side during your season of the worst time of your life, that maybe you just lost somebody. But there'll be people there that will encourage you. You can do it if you can rely on the Lord and his strength. Don't waver off the path. Look to the unseen things. God has placed a vision and a dream in you. You got to seek it, and then you shall find it. Don't look at the things around you or your situations. Look to God. It's so easy to want to look to somebody else or look to somebody else to blame. Amen? I used to do that. I used to blame everybody. Amen? And then I realized maybe I had something to do with it. Maybe I did something wrong. Maybe it was me. If I lost the first 5 jobs because I was late, it was probably because it was me. If I can't get along with every boss and every job, it might not be the boss that can't get along. Maybe it's me. Just trying to help. I learned that through time, as I'm getting more mature as a Christian, that some things just don't even faze me anymore. I don't really worry what people think or say about me. I don't care if they don't like the color of my skin, the way I talk, my size of my... I don't really care. I don't. Because to know me is to love me. Ask my wife. Do I hear an amen over there? Okay. Just want to make sure I was just encouraging that. Because you're encouraging on the sideline. Not there throwing rocks at me. Come on, you dirty son of a... No. She's there lifting me up. I was there encouraging her the whole time. Even when we went on vacation, we probably don't want to eat this food. Let's eat the right food. So we encourage each other. Why? Because we don't want to come back and lose our gains. You know, we lost X amount of weight, and we've been training, and the last thing we want to do is come back and you know, have to try to redo that. I mean, it's hard. That's why we're going to hit the gym again today. Amen? Why? Because we want to train the body to get in alignment with the Word. Sometimes you got to learn to deal with some disappointments in life. Don't let them defeat you. Don't let them be the thing that stops you from being all that God wants you to be. Don't allow the defeats in your life, those things that come across your pathway to detour you from what God wants you to do. The race is long and you can endure. You need to pick yourself up, trust in the Lord, and you will finish strong. You need to give of yourself and press in by doing the work of the Lord, giving of yourself and your time, and forgetting about the situations or issues that you face. Helping someone else releases joy in your spirit, man. My sister-in-law had lost her sister just about a month ago in a tragic little accident. And one of the things I told her is that she was planning on going on a mission trip like on that Monday. And my thing was, you know, you really need to go on that missions trip because it's not about you. You know, you can't change. You just buried your sister. It's unfortunate that she's dead, and we understand it, and it's hurtful. But it's time for you to give out what God's placed inside of you. You've been preparing for the season so long, and I know it's painful and it's hurtful, and you have all these memories of your sister. However, there's something inside of you that somebody else needs. So it's not about you. It's not about your pain. It's not about your struggle. It's about someone else. There's something inside of you that someone else needs. So she went on this trip, and the reports I heard back from my nephew and others is that you know, gee, man, mom would put it out there, man. Now, even though she went through all, she was so much more giving of herself. There was more of a release of her to people that they received, and people got healed, and people's lives were changed. Why? Because she didn't look at her own circumstance. She got beyond that and thought about somebody else. Remember, the miles that you travel for the Lord will always be priceless. When you finish strong, you always hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Those are the words we want to hear at the end of the race. When I cash in and get to heaven and I got my mansion, amen? It's already paid for. I don't owe on anything because I'm on the streets of gold because that's where I'm going to be. Amen? Not a renter, not a squatter, but an owner. Amen? I want to share this with you. All the hell you've been getting, God's going to give you double for your trouble. Amen? All the favor that's been stored up in heaven is going to be released in this season to you so that you can have favor that's not fair and people are going to talk about you. Let them talk. The Bible said in Job that the latter days will be better than your former days. Job did nothing wrong. He was served God with all his heart, but had lost it all. But his latter days, he started pretty good, and it got a little rough there, but he finished strong. His latter days were greater than his former days. Put up the slide about finishing strong. The choice is yours if you're going to finish strong. You get to choose. You can continue to wallow in what you're at and be miserable. Probably not God's best for you, but God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to have all that he has for you. The Bible says in Psalms 5:11, I don't have it up there, but here's what it says. It says, "Let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love you, love your name, be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous, that's you, with favor. You will surround them as a shield. Job 42:12 says, and now the Lord blessed the later days of Job more than his beginning. Job had a lot in the beginning, but he ended up with a whole lot more in the end. But he had to let some things go along the way in order to have the blessing of God in the end. Some of us have to let some things go. Some of us have to understand that the past is the past and it is done. You can't rewrite your past. All you can do is create a new future. It starts now. Not next week, not next month, now. I was watching infomercials, because when you're on vacation, you watch infomercials, amen? And old reruns of Urkel and, you know, all those other things, amen? And it's funny, because you remember when you watched those as a kid. But they had an infomercial, and they had this guy that has this training program on there. And I just loved it. And he's just these ab things, you know, and it was something PT or something. I don't know what the guy's name, but this guy's got, he's just ripped, man, like, you know, abs of steel. And I love the commercial. It says, and don't delay. We'll give you free shipping and get it there in another day, in like one day, because we don't want you to delay in starting your new look. It doesn't matter what your past looked like or how you started or where you're at, but if you start today, if you start right now, then you're going to have this new start and you're going to finish strong. I love that. Because the guy even used those words. He was like, if you do these things, you know, after 90 days, they had the 30-day to 60-day, 90-day, 90 days. It's like the person doesn't look like, a person was transformed, right? Well, that's what happens in the spiritual realm. When you spend time alone with God, he begins to transform you. Just no different than the guy that was in the commercial that used to be like that, and now he like that, and he all like that. Amen? But what did he do? He had some disappointments. You ever been on a diet? I've been on Deal-A-Meal and had to buy two sets of carbs because the first set wasn't enough. I mean, I understand. Amen. I've been on Jenny Craig and, you know, she didn't give me enough food. And I've been on all those things. Nutrisystem, Weight Watchers. I used to watch my weight all the time. It just kept on going up. I had some disappointments. You'd have some weeks that, man, you did everything right and you lost 2 pounds. You're like, wow. And then you did everything right the following week, and you gained a pound, or how you stayed even. That was the one I always buy. It stayed even. I'm saying, I did all the things right. I said, and I was disappointed. Well, that's life. But you got to get beyond those disappointments and not hold on. Oh, I just didn't. My wife's perfect example. There's a couple weeks that she stayed the same. She was like, I stayed the same. I did everything right. I only ate 1,300 calories a day, and I hardly did anything. I worked out even harder than I did before. But she was gaining muscle mass and not losing weight, but she was trimming her figure. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, so, but she was disappointed because she didn't see the numbers. Amen. I'll get back on track now. I'll get back on track. She didn't see the numbers. Amen. I'll keep it real. She'll get me later. I know it. Praise God. But she didn't see the numbers, so she was disappointed. So I was there, and her personal trainer was there, and encouraged her. Look it. They measured you. Look how much you lost. 2 inches here. You lost an inch here. So what? The scale says this, but look how much weight you lost. Look how much stronger you are. Look how much more endurance you have. I mean, so it's just not about the numbers. See, that's where church gets hung up. It's how many numbers you're running, just the right amount. How many people you got at your church that I'm going to come preach to? Just enough. I got people that will receive, you know. Amen. I got people that don't call the pastor when they need prayer. They just call on God, and you know, because God's a little bit higher source than I am. How's that? I'm just trying to help. Why? Because I want to train you and teach you that in life, it's not how you started. It's how you finish is what matters. You want to hear those things when God says, well done, my good and faithful servant. When I hear those words, that means I've made it. I've finished the race. I got to go across the line and break the tape when I went through. That's you and me. When school starts for you youth, guess what? You're starting with a clean slate. You all got A's. Keep all A's until next year. Amen. All A's, every test an A. And if you get a B and you're disappointed, let it go and study harder for the next one. Don't let that disappointment hold you back. Because God's got a bright future for you. Now I'm looking at potential senators and governors and mayors that are Christian, that will do the right thing instead of do the thing they want to do that puts money in their pockets. It's not how you start. You can start off real good, but not finish the race. Tortoise in the hare. Tortoise was consistent, 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 consistent. That's what God wants. God wants you to be consistent. When you go to the gym, work out, it's being consistent, consistent, consistent. When I go to my therapist for my shoulder, because he's working it out, trying to get these knots I have in it, because I can't lift it certain ways, and he says, you got to be consistent every day in your stretching. The days you're not, I know you weren't. How do you know? He says, I can tell by how far you can move that arm, how high you can lift it. Have you moved it here? Can you move it? He knows, but if I move that stick a certain way, and if I held it there until I'm almost crying, shaking, yep, that's good. That means you got a little bit more stretch than you had last time. It's being consistent. God wants you to be consistent in order to finish strong. What we want to do is we want to worship God. We want to seal what God has started this morning. God wants you to finish strong. It's not how you started. Let go of your past. The devil is so good at manipulating us to hold on to our past. Well, we'll never do that. I could never do that. I could never do this. I could never. Let me tell you, I was 365 pounds. I didn't think I could ever lose weight. But somehow, some way, I got dedicated. Somehow, I took some action. I had to learn to eat right. I had a portion control. I had to take my vitamins, amen? And I felt like I was down on the ground, you know, and I was getting choked out, amen? But then all of a sudden, God and his word started to raise me above, amen? And I'd be able to bounce off that turnbuckle, amen, and knock out those thoughts that I had that I couldn't finish, that I couldn't do it. This morning, when we worship God this morning, as Pastor Dinah brings forth the worship this morning, and really worship from your heart and begin to allow the things that have been holding you back, let it go. Because God wants you to finish. It's not how you start. You could be the guy in front of the race but still end up in last place. It's how you finish that matters.